I'd like to call this regular meeting of the Curry Beach Town Council to order. When we don't have a preacher today, so I'll do the invocation. Please bow your heads. God, we come to you asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion and nurture the bonds of the community. And grant us your grace as we make decisions that will affect the residents of Curry Beach. Continue to remind us that all we accomplish here should be for the good of the entire community, Beach community. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And it appears that one of our council members may be late or missed the meeting, so...
Make a motion, we excuse Steve Pagley.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approval of the consent agenda items.
Make a credit request. So, a clarification. So, I saw emails. Number one says two members. Should that be three members to attend the NCBIWA meeting?
It's $190 for each member to go.
No, it's half that.
I think it's
95.
Well, 95. I think two members would be fine. What do you think?
To open a discussion on that point, I believe that I will be.
I make a motion we allow Mr. Pagley to join.
Do I have a second? Want
a cup of coffee before you
join? I think we have a solution to this. I will be attending that, and since it's November 17th, one other individual will be attending.
I make a motion that the newly elected mayor, whichever one of them it is, attends, as the second member. Yes?
I have a second.
Yeah, okay, so I make a motion agenda. We remove number one from the consent agenda and put it under whatever for old
new business.
Okay, new business, that's fine.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Make a motion we approve the rest of the consent agenda as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have any opposition? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. And you want to put this under?
New business.
New business? David, would you like to make
that number two. I make a motion that we move number one from the consent agenda to number two under new business.
Second.
And Mayor, did you want to add anything with the wind energy?
Yes. Let me get this written down. New business two and three, I would like to... make a motion that we read and adopt the. Where's mine at? Is it?
Adopt you have mine there, good.
Resolution that the Ballhead actually sent out and wanted us to follow suit. So we'll put that under three.
Okay.
All right. Any other changes?
Make a motion to approve the agenda as modified.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. And John, would you like to get up and... Excuse me.
Our auditor.
Yes, our auditor. We can't slight him any because he lets us know if we have any money. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Arlen has prepared a small presentation that we'll go through that kind of summarizes some of the significant changes and some of the balances that are important to the town. The first thing that we want to talk about is there was a prior period restatement to the net position of the town this year of about $210,000. And why that was is because the town had to implement GASB statement number 68. And what GASB number 68 basically does is in prior years, the employees of the town who participated in the state retirement system, The only thing that was presented in the financial statements was the amount that was contributed to that retirement system. Well, GASB 68 came along and says that the participants of that retirement system should record on their financial statements their proportionate share of any liabilities or assets of that plan, the overall plan. So what that the restatement related to was what was the beginning liability of the town at the beginning of the year. And that $216,000, you can see, was allocated between the governmental fund and the business type funds. About $51,000 was allocated to the water and sewer fund, while the $165,000 was for primary your general fund and your governmental fund. But you can see what it, you know, you still started off with about 13.5 and it got down to about 13.3 at the, when we started off the year in audit. Like, as I mentioned before, we started off with a liability in the plan, but based off of the earnings or the expected earnings from the plan, the town actually had an asset at the end of the year. And as you can see, that first line item, net pension asset, the town's share of the assets in the retirement system is about $184,000. And again, it's allocated between the governmental fund and the enterprise fund. So the governmental fund had about 140 and 43. There was also some deferred outflows of resources and deferred inflows of resources. The deferred outflows of resources primarily is the contribution that has been made to the plan but hasn't been added to the plan because of the period when the asset, the pension asset, was determined. So the $162,000, it will be a contribution that will be applied against that asset / liability for the upcoming year. The deferred inflows, about $448,000, those are future pension expenses that will be charged to the pension plan that will be allocated to the town, and that those pension expenses will be amortized to the town's financial statements over the next 4 years. So that $448,000 is not going to all hit in 1 year. You're going to see if things stay the same, the actuarial assumptions stay the same, you're going to have a little over about $110,000 being expensed over the next 4 years. And then you can see in the just in the change for the current year, there's about $18,000 that was charged to pension expenses. So what we have starting off with is, you can see in 2013, the net position, the governmental activity is about $6.4 million, almost $6.5 million. With 2014 being restated, it increased to about, you know, it did decrease a little bit, but it still came in about $6.8 million. And then for 2015, it's up to $7.4 million. For the business type activities, you start off with about 6.2. With the restated, it's about 6.6. And then it's about 6.6 in 14. So your business type, your water and sewer fund, between 2014 and 2015, is pretty flat in the increase. Most of your increase was in your governmental fund, which is basically your general fund. The breakdown of the governmental activities, the things that you want to focus on is the blue number on the bottom. That's your, what you would consider your capital assets. That's your, the amount of net position at the end of the year that is tied up in your capital assets of the town, less any related debt. And you can see it's been about $100,000 increase. Started off with about $4 million, went up to about $4.1 million and $4.2 million. The restricted is amounts that are set aside by state statutes, laws, or by grant agreements, things like this. That means that money is designated for certain type of expenditures that will might occur next year or maybe 2 years down the road. And that's, you know, starting off, that's been pretty consistent between about about $750,000, $870,000, $650,000. The green number is probably the most important number that you want to focus on, which is the unrestricted. This is the amount, if you want to consider available money, that the town can utilize to pay for its expenses as well as any unusual expenses that occur during the year. This is what you can appropriate for your fund balances, for your budgets and things like this, and cover your unusual expenditures. And as you can see, for 2013 and 2014, it hovered around $1.7 million. But for 2015, it's up to about $2.5 million. So it's a nice little increase between 2014 and 2015. But it's still a good amount of money to have available for those unusual expenditures.
But that's net as of June 30th, right?
Yes, sir.
So for the citizens, realize how our revenues come in. This is an important point. Our revenues mostly come in January and February for your property taxes, and then we live off that through the whole year. So that's not the low point of where we end up. And so we should understand that as our citizens, right? So when you say that money's available, it is, but we live off that money through the fall and into December, January before the next property taxes come back in. So that's not the low point. I really wish they'd change it so you did audit us at the low point, but that's not how we operate. Because we've had to explain that to people before, and I reiterate it whenever it comes up.
So, kind of hit the low point probably in about
October,
August,
September. Really? I would thought a little later, but okay.
We start to get the property tax revenue when it starts coming in October, really.
I know my bank doesn't pay until January.
Yeah. Well, they have to pay by January, January 6th, I think, or 5th.
And that's when they pay, January 4th.
Victor, can I ask you a question? I think it was Victor, right?
Yes.
The restricted funds is going down. Is that because we use them?
The restricted is restricted fund balance or net position, right? Because it's restricted by some outside source.
Did we use the money, though, to bring it down? Or is there less restricted money? Why?
The things there that make up that number is there's a stabilization of state statute. That is a calculation that is in the general statutes of the state.
It's a calculation.
And that will depend on certain things. It could be the cash balance, it could be your receivables, okay, things like that. And then other things are your streets, your power bill. So probably the significant components for those two things. And what impacts those is if you had a big street project and you apply power bill funds to it, that number would go down. If your cash is down from previous years, that number will go down.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure Arlen will explain that to me in more detail later.
Between 2014 and 15, we also had, for whatever reason, on June 30th, 2014, we had a lot more accounts payable. Which, as Victor said, that impacts this calculation that's done for state statute. So that also had a big impact on us.
Okay.
Where this year we just did not have a significant accounts payable.
Thank you.
So for your business type activities, again, similar to your governmental activities, the largest component of that is your capital assets, net of related debt. You can see it's start off about 4.8, hovered about 4.7, is down to a little less than about 4.6. That decrease is probably a component of your depreciation expense. Your unrestricted component is 1.4, almost 1.9 in 2014, and it's a little over $2 million. And again, that's the amount of money that you can utilize to refurbish the water and sewer if you needed to, or if something major happened, that you could utilize that money to pay for those expenditures. Kind of getting back to, this is a breakdown of the revenues, the governmental funds, fund balance, And what you see here is, you can see in 2014, we started off having setting aside some money. The council set aside some money for some beach protection. And we started setting aside that money because the state was wishy-washy in amount if they were going to help coastal towns help replenish the beaches. So a lot of coastal towns started setting aside some money to help for that replenishment of the sand in the times of storms or every so often. So that's what it makes so that's beach protection. And similar thing with the storm water is money kind of set assigned by the council to help pay for some storm water improvements when deemed necessary. That restricted other, that was some grant money, I think they're related to the theater, the
right. Park. It was money that we had received from, I think, Duke Energy,
right.
Used for programs.
Yeah. The asset forfeitures, what that is that is when the police department makes a drug bust, and the assets that they capture from that drug bust is sold by the state or the federal governments, a portion of those proceeds get allocated back to the town to help pay for certain things. And that money is set aside that can be used for training for the police department, or could be used to buy certain equipment such as bulletproof vests and things like that. So that's what that line item represents. And then we talk about what state statute is and the restricted for the streets. And you can, this is a budget versus actual comparison for this past year. You know, but the budget was a little over $4 million. The actual that came in is about $4.2 million. So we had about $200,000 favorable variance in revenues. The expenses were, we budgeted about 4.6, where we actually came in about 4.2. So again, we had a favorable variance of about $460,000. The combination of those two favorable variances represent about $600,000 that get added to your fund balance at the end of the year, less some of these other things such as like the transferred outs, you know, and then the fund balance appropriation to balance out your budget. But you can see everything trickled down to where we had a positive change in the fund balance of about $560,000 this past year. And most of that is we have more revenues come in, but most of that is that we really controlled the expenditures going out, and we didn't have some unusual expenditures that we thought we might have occur during the year.
Which department was the big driver of that, Arlen? I mean, that's like 11% off, which is, doesn't feel like that's how it operated, but obviously.
Well, there's some things in there like this combines, as it says up there, all those funds.
Right.
So take stormwater, for example. We didn't do certain capital things.
Okay, so we delayed a capital project. Right. Okay, so that makes sense. Now I feel better. Okay, good.
Because the component that's probably just the general fund, I don't even want to say. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Especially the biggest, about $240,000 of that is in the general government. And under the operating expenses for the administration, and I would have to look at the details.
That's fine.
We budgeted about almost $600,000, but the actual only came in about $360,000.
Okay. So. Thanks. Nice job, Nancy. I'd love to see why.
It is.
This is a breakdown of your water and sewer fund for this past year. You can see we brought in about $1.6 million. We had expenses of almost $1.6 million, so operating income, a little over $50,000. The non-operating revenues expenses, that's primarily interest expense on the debt. So that knocked us down to a little over $30,000, which that's what we talked about earlier is the net position was kind of flat for water and sewer fund, but that's just because, you know, if you really think about it, what you charge for the services of providing that water sewer fund pretty much match the cost of providing that service during the year.
And that's why we changed the water rate. So, nice job.
Anything else? Or was that?
I think that was a good summary of everything. If anybody has any questions for Victor?
So my assumption is you're pleased with what you saw?
Yes, sir. You received this considered an unmodified opinion, which is the cleanest opinion that you can receive in an audit. So there was no issues. We didn't have any internal control issues. If we did, we would have to report those to you. We didn't have any management type letters or past adjustments or any adjustments. I'm not aware of any adjustments. So that gives you some comfort that the numbers that you're looking throughout the year are pretty consistent with what we look at when we look at the audit. There wasn't some big swings. So I have to commend Arlen on that he's, making sure that things are correct throughout the year instead of just waiting at year end to fix some certain things. So he's giving you good solid numbers to look at, so when you're making management decisions, you can feel good with those numbers.
So you've confirmed my suspicions, and thank you for thank you for making part of the record. Arlen's doing a fine job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Victor, I don't have anything else. Anybody?
No, excellent.
You did a great job.
Nice.
Appreciate it.
Good work.
Thank you.
I hope you get back to Raleigh safe. Thank you. Thanks for your help.
Yes. Be safe on the roads. Thank you, sir.
John?
I'm John Ellen, 181 Seawatch Way. I just want to publicly thank the town and particularly the Public Works Department for cleaning up the sand and the gravel out of the bike lanes after the past two storms. That's important to me, and they did a great job.
John, can you let us know about your new commitment for the government?
I was asked yesterday to join Representative Rouser. Congressman Rouser is the congressman from the 7th district, which includes the beach community. He's asked me to be a member of his Veterans Advisory Council. And after spending all those years in the Air Force and type of thing, maybe I can help him out.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Discussion and consideration of committee business, Board of Adjustment, Community Center Committee, Marketing Committee, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. There's still some tickets left for the trip. Planning and Zoning Commission. Anything? Shoreline Access, Beach Protection, and Parking Committee. Adopt a Beach.
Good evening. This is a follow-up from last month where we presented a proposal for an Adopt a Beach program for the city and for the town. So hopefully you've got a copy of it in hand, a copy of the guidelines, as well as the partnership agreement that we would establish with those parties that wanted to participate in that.
Okay.
So, Andy, if you had a time to look at it, just to make sure the town's covered by the whole harmless part of it.
Yes, I had looked at it and made a suggestion, which was carried out.
Okay.
Is just if you had any questions or give us your blessing.
So when someone joins, what is the town? Are we going to advertise them somewhere, or what's the benefit to them, right?
We'll pretty much try to soft market it. We'll go out to the businesses, community services, to homeowners associations. There's been quite a bit.
And then after they join in, so after they sign up, what are we doing? Are we doing anything? Are we committing to do anything?
The town, it'll be monitored under our committee. It'll
right.
be monitored under there. We'll have a link on the town website with the proposal. That'll come. Everything will get registered online. We'll keep track of which which beach accesses have been adopted. There won't be any enforcement. It's an honor system.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll just kind of keep a soft eye of what's going on out there with it, and if there's any...
Is there a sign on the beach access that this beach is adopted by or anything like that? I'm not saying I want to. I'm just asking what you guys are wanting, right?
We do not have that in our discussion at this point at all. Maybe down the road, if it becomes a real popular thing.
That's sort of where I'm at, right? On the other hand, I think on our website, putting these people on a map or something, cool with that. But I just don't want another sign at the beach access. There's enough of them.
And what did you say about how you will notify organizations, say like the HOA?
Newspaper, we'll talk to HOAs, schools that have community service requirements that they'd like to get their clubs involved in, that's another way. So a number of the people on the committee, there's actually five of us on our little committee that have worked together to try to help, get this up and running. And they have a lot of ideas of people in the organizations and families and HOAs that have been interested in it.
Do you have any kind of letter or... And I'm asking because the Kerry Beach Village HOA is meeting on Saturday. And if you had something in writing.
We don't yet, only because we are just at the approval process. I think what we're really shooting for is a January 1st implementation of this. And, being a part of the HOA as well there, we can certainly get that information to all the HOAs that are.
So one other thing before, my last thing is, failure to abide by this agreement may result in termination. You guys need to document what your criteria is for termination. Because I don't want someone to come say, well, they didn't like me, that's why they terminated me. Because you guys and some individual organization don't like each other, so you need to write it down what it is. And it needs to be measurable.
That would be changed. We modified on recommendation.
Okay, I'm just looking at the one I've got in my packet. It says, fair to abide by this agreement may result in this termination. What does that mean? Because there's not measurable stuff in here, and I don't want someone coming to council complaining.
I think in this situation, it's one of those, as you said, they don't like who or they don't like what.
That's right.
I think it's left up to, if it's an egregious situation, that's something that council should discuss with them in terminating it. They had it in there, but I, for some unknown reason, I just can't be comfortable with a committee being delegated authority that belongs to council.
Okay, so then your input is we do the terminating. Okay,
right.
Great.
If we get a complaint of somebody that didn't do their job or is trouble,
you're going to forward it to council. Okay.
Come to you and you make the decision.
Okay. Okay, I can live with that then, I guess, since the attorney tells me I should.
That's why we
made it. Okay. I have no more questions, sir.
Thank you.
Can we move forward or
make a motion?
Make a motion. Yeah. David, would you like to make a motion?
No.
Okay.
Adopt the beach annual partnership agreement in its form.
Do I have a second? I second. Very good. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have one more under shoreline access. I know Public Works has been working very hard, but we seem to have lost about the lighting for the town of Kerry Beach. It was on last month's agenda, and he was absent, and it was supposed to be on this month,
and he's not here,
so... I don't know what you're going to do, but we need a decision for that parking lot, and also it was a decision for putting the new lighting in town.
Okay.
Just to let you know that it's...
We'll add that to the next council meeting and make sure we have some here.
I think,
and then I called and talked to Robin, and she checked with Sonny, and Sonny said to go ahead and take it off.
Okay, we'll put it on the next meeting, put it on the next one. That's fine. Let him know it's back on. And
yeah, people were a little busy the last few weeks. Thanks, Tony. Discussion and consideration of department head business. Ms. Avery?
Mr.
Mr. Mayor.
How are you?
Great, how are you? It's that time of year again, employee appreciation luncheon is scheduled for Wednesday, November 25th from 12 to noon. It's requesting authorization to close town hall for the day to allow employees to attend the luncheon and take the rest of the day off.
This thing says to close at noon.
That's correct.
And you said day. Close at noon?
She said at noon.
At noon for the day.
Oh, okay, okay.
Make a motion that we close town hall at noon on November 25th for the employee appreciation luncheon.
Second.
Any step? Oh, sorry, quicker.
What?
Can say
no.
All in favor.
No, yes. Sir.
Okay. What, is that what time the luncheon starts?
Yes.
Is that noon? And where is it this year?
It's going to be at the community center this year.
Okay. Mm.
Well, can we make it 11:30 if it starts at noon?
So we have a motion?
Sure.
We just keep one person here.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
It's noon.
It's noon. That's too late.
Yeah. We'll tell him it's 11:30 so he'll get there on time.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wow. Tough crowd.
Finance department? All right.
Well, the only thing I'm not sure who knows or doesn't know about that we'll have a visit tomorrow from the state emergency management and FEMA about any potential costs that we have from these storms.
John, you got a bunch of papers in your hand, so step up to the podium.
Thanks, Arlen. Call me if you need. I'll be on.
Just want to give a real quick update about the new flood maps for the town and for the county. They released the preliminary flood maps about a year ago in August. Starting October 29th, the appeal period starts. It's a 9-day appeal period. At which time, if we have a problem with our flood maps, we would need to submit either technical or scientific data to the state, which we're not planning on doing. However, Bryson Beach is planning on appealing their flood maps, which in turn will delay the effective date for our flood maps. So at this time, we're not looking at any new flood maps for at least a year, possibly into 2 years. So I'll report back as that changes. Yeah. Any questions about any of that?
What's their problem, Bryce and Beach's problem?
Harbor Island's been significantly changed in a big way as far as their floodplain goes. They've got a lot of non-conforming properties that are coming on the new maps.
Yeah, but I thought they
puts
knew
their
that.
Government puts a lot of their government buildings in.
They're getting hurt pretty bad.
Okay.
Whereas
some tough
we as a town, in my opinion, we're in a better place than we are right now.
Right. Yeah, if I remember when you showed them to us last year, they actually reduced, not expanded, right? So.
And the majority of the town was reduced. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Our VE and AE went down quite a bit. I think.
Yes,
right?
Sir. That's correct.
Good. Excellent.
John. I understand there's some questions about. I'm sorry,
John,
do a question.
There's that public meeting that's coming up that they keep postponing and postponing, but I think it's finally scheduled for maybe sometime next week. About the, is that mainly for the public, or is that anything we should be attending?
Well, we already did the public meetings.
No, this is a different. This is about the rivers of the United States. Stuff.
Water,
think, right? The waters of the U.S. It's not about flood maps.
Weapons.
It's about them expanding the authority of.
Thank you. I got them.
The federal government to regulate streams and ditches, even if they're dry. Yeah. So that's what she's talking about.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. It's, it's not wonderful.
Briefing on that a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's
they keep moving the public hearing. The public hearing is. I mean, it is important to us.
Mm-hmm. It is. Everyone.
Thanks, Sean.
I understand there were some questions about the storm.
Yeah, I just want to know, so we sent out during the storm for the public an email to any citizens to please report if your house got damaged, just so we could track that as we look at our stormwater system. And I just wondered how many properties actually reported in.
16. Is what I've been able to figure.
Right.
We have some where the old regulars.
Right.
Some of them were what they say new. Very few impacted living areas. Had some, water intrusion into garages and things like that that you would normally expect for a storm like that. Sunny did an excellent job mitigating a lot of the issues before they became issues. So kudos to him and his department. And we certainly are aware of the problem areas.
Can we just make sure all that gets passed on to Sunny so we can look at it every one
time? Yeah, I know exactly.
Good. Okay, thanks.
I did, you know, one thing that Sunny and I have done in the past when we got a new house that's being built in a flood-prone area, instead of charging a stormwater fee, we're waiving that fee, and in return, they're putting in an engineered stormwater system for their property. We don't really have anything in an ordinance that allows for that. We've just done that when we can see the need for it, and I think there'll be some more of those coming up pretty soon. How would y'all like for me to proceed?
I think we should work with the attorney to modify the ordinance so we can let you have that authority since you've been doing it, right?
Yes.
I think it's a good thing to do, right?
That's something y'all need to know about. We've only done it on, I think, maybe three in the past couple of years.
I think that's a good thing to do. We just need to make sure you have the authorities to do it.
So,
and in a storm like that, those systems really aren't doing any good at that point.
Right, because it's overpassed.
Nobody else realizes that.
So, John, who would approve that? I mean, if you say, in lieu of the fee, come on and show us the system, is that something you and Sonny would approve then?
I ask Sonny what he thinks about it. If we both agree, then I waive that fee, and I put it in as part of the permit. They have to put in an engineered stormwater system.
Now, when they come up with the system, which is the question that I have, is that the engineered system, does somebody evaluate it to see if it's correct?
Sonny is capable of doing those inspections. Okay. Generally speaking, the engineer that drew the system will come out and do a site inspection to make sure it's installed correctly.
Thank you.
It provides that acceptance in writing to me.
Okay.
And stamps on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
Is there anything else?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Discussion and consideration of old business? None. Discussion and consideration of new business? Political signs on Dow Road. It has been brought to my attention that Ms. Waringen put a couple of political signs up on Dow Road, and she said that, according to Craig, she got permission from DOT.
Yes, I spoke to a gentleman in the regional office. He sent me a copy of the state law, which I'd be glad to provide for all of you. But on any road that the state DOT has control of, that is 421 K Avenue, Dow Road, and Ocean Boulevard, you can put up signs 30 days before early voting. You should have permission from the property owner that's adjacent to that. I asked him specifically about Sunny Point. He said Sunny Point has never complained about the signs, and that he recommends that people just go on and put them up until the day comes that Sunny Point decides they don't like the signs. And so the places I have them are on the state road fronts, and the property adjacent to it belongs to Sunny Point, does not belong to the town of Kerry Beach.
Okay, now you were the building commissioner for how many years? 4 years?
Two.
And in our ordinances, it says that we don't put signs up on Dow. Would you like to read?
I'm sorry, but I asked the gentleman about that, and he said that the state always takes precedent over local laws.
When did that get put in our ordinances?
Yeah, no, I don't remember the number being on there, but
yes,
I'm just interested.
But he said that the state takes precedence over anything that the town has, and that's why in Carolina Beach they are all up and down 421 all the way to the bridge and all of Dow Road, because the town of Carolina Beach has no control over it.
Yeah. And we just need an accurate ruling on this thing so both candidates can do whatever they.
Well, then I suggest you call the Secretary of Transportation in Raleigh and get their comments on it.
Would you read the ordinance, Andy?
Do what?
Would you read the ordinance, please?
Well, this ordinance was originally done in 2003.
I knew I wasn't old. Thank you.
2009. Yes. And 2011.
I wasn't on.
11.
Wasn't on.
And at the time, there was a lot of hoopla about signs being in the right of way of the town and our extraterritorial jurisdiction. And when this matter came up, my question was to, I can't remember who was it going to find out, but someone, I said that the Dow Road was a state road and we needed to find out from the DOT what their druthers were. At that time, the Department of Transportation informed the town of Cary Beach, as I well recall, that we could do just about anything out there that we got their permission to do it. So we got permission, and as a result, this is one of the sentences in number 7 of 19373, which says political signs will not be allowed within the right-of-way in the town limits or its extraterritorial jurisdiction. That's just part of the ordinance. It's quite extensive. But that's where we were, and that's where we are. Now, unless the state has decided to change its mind, as it usually does, you never know about the state of North Carolina.
Andy, do we have that in writing from them?
I don't know at that time whether it was given to the town clerk or not. I don't know.
Okay, maybe the town clerk could find out if we ever had anything in writing from DOT saying we could do whatever we want to do.
Well, they don't mind, you know, as far as your parking, no parking, or even your speed. They will tell you that they have no objections as long as you have their permission.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
they will normally defer to us.
Yes.
So I wrote down Dow Road today. Where are the signs that are the issue?
It's been taken.
It's in the curve right here at K.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, we're spending a lot of time on something for two signs, right? So
one sign.
One sign, even worse.
Which
one sign,
right? I really appreciate somebody just picking it up and laying it down and not tearing it up like before. Thank you.
As one point, though, I don't want... Since I work with John, and I'm liaison to his department, I don't want John caught between the two positions of one saying this is right and the other saying this is right. So I'm okay with any direction. I just don't want
John
ground up in the middle of this thing.
John's fault.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned, it's not John's not in the middle of it at all.
Right.
DOT's decision.
As you read on, when are signs permitted on Dow Road?
Big word.
When are signs permitted on Dow Road? 70 days before the election.
Well, the thing, let me read the whole thing.
Okay.
Temporary political signs may be erected on any privately owned premises. One may erect non-illuminated political signs prior to any primary or general election. Political signs shall be removed after the general or runoff election to which the sign pertains or after the termination of a candidacy, whichever occurs first. Political signs may not exceed 6 square feet in size. Political signs will not be allowed within the right-of-way in the town limits or its extraterritorial jurisdiction. Shall not be attached to trees or utility poles. Shall not be roof-mounted. Nor shall they be allowed on any publicly owned property. Political signs may be erected within 100 yards of the town hall or polling place 24 hours prior to the scheduled election, subject to limits imposed by the New Hanover County Board of Elections. That's our ordinance.
Thank you.
Number two under...
Well, we're not done with this one, right? So
you want to get on with it.
No, so the issue is this one sign that important that we had to talk about it?
Yes, it is, because I do not want my opponent pushing the envelope. She was a town commissioner, She's been a town commissioner. Okay. She was a building inspector.
Fine. Did you point this out to her before doing it in a council meeting?
I called the state.
I'm just asking that two of you talk about this before the council meeting.
No, Greg. I did not ask for his permission.
I'm not
I
expecting
called the
to ask
state and asked them what the law was. They sent me a copy of the law, and then I also discussed it with them in detail. And I was told the state has precedence over local jurisdictions. And with everything the state's doing to us, I would think you would understand that.
I understand that. My question is, was it pointed out between you two that should have been worked out instead of at a council meeting?
No, he could have put
issue.
His sign out there.
I do not put my sign out there because...
Okay. You're okay. I know it's election year, and I know I need to just deal for a month. But really, let's be serious. So, when we all took our oaths, it said we would follow all the ordinances of town. If they're stupid ordinances, we should have brought them up in a council meeting and said this ordinance is either wrong or we should change it. So, if you didn't know about it, then he should have told you so you could follow it. If you knew about it and decided, I'm going to follow state, then shame on both of you. We got really important stuff we should talk about. I know you guys are running for a mayor election, and I understand that's how small town politics works, but it's aggravating as crap.
I did not put this on the agenda.
I know you didn't, but...
And I read...
I'm saying both
read
of you.
The town law. The town law does not say this applies to Dow Road. Otherwise... You need to go out there in our little extraterritorial jurisdiction and get everybody to take their signs.
Well, there's not one past Ocean Boulevard.
Nope.
I don't, and Ocean Boulevard's not in Curie Beach. And it's not in the extraterritorial section because it's in Carolina Beach. So I would just say to both of my esteemed colleagues, who one of you is going to be the mayor, please, let's just, come on, let's adult up a little bit.
Okay,
tell me what you
would like. Do you want me to take my sign down or not?
I want you to either change the ordinance or follow it.
I am following the state law.
Fine. There's an ordinance in Curie Beach. All the state laws and all the ordinances don't overlap. If you think our ordinance is wrong, then you should tell the council we should change it because it's illegal. If it's illegal, then we should fix it. But if it's on the books, follow our ordinance.
I don't think it's wrong. I think the state has precedence over what the town does.
Then you should put on the agenda for us to change our ordinance. If our ordinance is in violation of the state, we should fix that. That's our job.
Okay, next time I ask that it be on the town
agenda.
Perfect.
So that's the state road?
Yeah, it is a state road.
And meanwhile, could our building inspector work with our attorney to change it something to the effect of, if state laws take precedence, we will obey the state law?
And I'm fine with that.
Sure.
And that's the right thing to do. And if we have any other ordinances that any of us know about and we're deciding not to follow, we should try to change them.
Right.
So is that on the agenda for next month?
Yes, it's on the agenda.
Does it have to
look at the ordinance and see if it violates or is in conflict with state law?
Does it have to go before planning and zoning first?
I don't think that one does.
The last two times we changed it over, you gave it to the town attorney to change.
Yeah, I don't think it is a P&Z thing because it's not zoning.
Chapter 19.
It is zoning.
Oh.
Zoning, it has to go.
Then if it has to go to zoning, put it to zoning.
Okay.
Is that correct, Mr. Attorney?
Yes, ma'am.
State road is chapter. Don't need to be mowing the grass and cleaning that anymore either.
They're not going to mow it.
If we're going to follow that logic.
No, they're not going to mow it.
They're out there picking on it.
We're going to make our town look good.
Yeah. Planning and zoning does not have a November meeting schedule.
They can take it up in December.
That's right. We just need to fix it. The next it's done before the next election anyway.
Cannot the town put more restrictions on things above the North Carolina law?
I think we're going to let the attorney and P&Z work on it. We're not going to decide it tonight.
Sometimes not.
But in this whole book?
Yes, yes. I think we can, but that's fine. If a commissioner thinks an ordinance is wrong, we should review it and fix it.
Well, some of the bicycle laws, statutes of Curie Beach, are more restrictive than the state.
I understand.
I'm fine with me, but
we're done with this issue until P&Z comes back with it. At least I'm done with it. You guys can carry on.
I'm done. I wanted to make sure everybody knew.
Could I also ask the attorney to think of something while you're doing this? 421 is a state road. K Avenue is a state-controlled road. What's the difference between this end of K and the rest of K and all of 421?
Those
if we're going to do it that way,
property.
We're not always. Not always.
There's no unloaned lots that are public lots, except for our three back in town.
Well, 421 is under control of the state, but that's a federal road.
And
belongs to the government of the United States.
Yeah, and that belongs to the government of the United States.
No, this belongs to the state of North Carolina.
Sunny Point's property does.
Sunny Point's property is in the buffer zone.
Right.
So they only took the buffer zone. They didn't take the road.
Okay, whatever.
Right. Right. So this is the state 3 feet from the state road, but the property adjacent to it belongs to the federal government. It does not belong to the town of Cary Beach.
Goes along, it's federal. Right. United States Army, as a matter of fact.
Number two under discussion and consideration of new business is two members of council to attend the North Carolina Byways, Highways, whatever ways.
Right, and I brought this one up. I love Craig's solution. I make a motion that we approve two members of council to attend, which would be the representative Craig and whoever wins the mayoral election.
Thank you.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Do I have any discussion? No? Having heard none, I approve.
You don't approve.
I know.
Because I'm the one that suggested it.
That's good. That's perfect. Whoever, I'm sorry. Sorry, I got wrong.
Is that the motion and second?
Yes, there's a motion second by Mr. Pagley. The mayor hasn't called for the vote yet because he's playing. You want to call for it?
Yes, I call for the vote.
All in favor,
signify by saying aye.
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 Outstanding.
Very good. Number three, the village of Baldhead has sent us a resolution. And I attended the bone meeting last week in Wilmington. And what Baldhead is trying to do is move the windmills farther away from their line of sight. The windmills are 180 feet tall. And they want to move them back so that they're not as obvious as they would be. And I think we should go along with their resolution here, because at night when the windmills are out there in the ocean, if a plane flies within so many feet of it, they automatically light up.
So how far are they right now in the current standard?
Right now, I think they said 10 miles is what the bone wanted.
They're actually pretty close.
I think
they are. 1.17 times the square root of height.
And they're much closer than what the feds are allowing on other lighthouses in the States.
Yeah, much closer, yes.
I think we should be.
So they're at 10 miles?
Should be treated equally.
Okay. Yeah, 10 nautical miles.
And what Bone
says, 10 nautical miles.
What Bone says, if you move them any farther, that the electricity will drop off as the trunk line goes out to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Ballhead, you know, kind of takes on the chin. Now have the expenses and everything that they do to keep up their beaches, and I don't think they need this to worry with. So I would like.
Are we making up our own ordinance, or are we just signing theirs?
I think you would know this.
1.17 times the square root of height.
No.
That's what I was doing, figuring out. So from Cary
the
Beach.
The horizon is 17 miles. Is that it from standing?
If you're standing, it's the square root of however tall you are. So if we say a 35-foot Cary Beach house, the square root of that, say 36, make it 6 times 1.17, so it's 6.6 miles to the horizon. So then on the other side, how far out you are, right? Mm-hmm. So 180, that's what I was just doing the calculation for. So 180-foot lighthouse, because think about the curvature of the earth, right?
Yeah.
One sticking up this way, one sticking up this way. Yeah, submarine guys, we know this really well, because the ship's coming up, right? And so 19 miles away, you'd just see the top of it from a Cary Beach house. in the third floor if you were standing on the roof at 19 miles.
Right.
But and so at 10 miles,
you're
not going to see it over the horizon. If it's over the horizon with light, it's over the horizon.
It's over the horizon, but the lights go up.
Cool.
I tell you, you're going to see it 20 miles away.
So the issue is
that if it's 19 miles away, you won't see it from the top of a Curie Beach house. If you're standing on the beach and it's 14 miles away, you won't see it.
Yeah.
So the question is, their argument, because I read their whole argument, is it's going to hurt people in the lighthouse. I don't know that the lighthouse height is the standard. That's where I assume they got their 25 miles from. Because it is an engineering truth that if you put them too far away, you're not going to get any electricity from wind. Some people don't want electricity from gasoline or petrol, and then some people want electricity from nuclear power, but all of us want the lights on. So that's where I have a beef with this whole deal.
And if it's the lights that are a concern, I don't think you're allowed to be in the lighthouse at night. So you won't see the lights from the top of the lighthouse.
I mean, I'm not saying that, I don't want to beat up on Ballhead, but, you know, basically what they're asking is we don't want lighthouses, and we don't want wind energy off our coast. So draw a circle for 24 miles, nautical miles, and you can't put them in there. And then I guess Riceville Beach will do the same thing, so it'll be another 24-mile circle. And then whatever the next one up their way is, it'll be another 24-mile circle. And then there won't be wind energy on North Carolina coast. Is that the right thing? I don't know. I was interested in their argument. I'm okay whichever way you want to go, sir. Make a motion.
I make a motion that we support the resolution for Ballhead Island. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Nancy has a question.
Yes.
We've not drafted a resolution. I sent this to you yesterday because it came in yesterday for the November agenda. Are you saying you want the exact same wording in our resolution?
Or we can direct her to draft a resolution and adopt it at the November meeting. Does it need to? Is there a timing issue? I read all their stuff. I didn't see timing.
No, there's no timing issue.
But enough. I figured the legislature is done, right?
Just bring it up next month with the resolution we're supposed to sign.
Yeah, so that could be your motion then.
Yeah.
Do you want to modify it? Or do you want it in now?
I want it in now.
Okay, then make the motion to copy this and change the wording.
Make a motion that we copy the Ballhead Island resolution and adopt it to Curie Beach. We have a second, I assume?
I'll second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All opposed? Do
opposed.
I said all opposed.
Here.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
So do you want to draft a different one or no?
I'm going to call Andy. No. Call Andy and let him know that we did not stand beside him.
Stand beside him. Okay. There's three, two, no.
Yeah. Anything else come before this council? Any commissioner items?
Just everyone come tomorrow night to the candidate forum.
There we go.
Yeah. At the community center.
They have a motion.
I'll make a motion. We close.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That's why you get paid a good wage. Probably.